Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we talk all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn. It's what we were created for, to be a solution to a problem. Even though we did create one by taking the fruit and having a conversation with somebody we never should have had a conversation. There's so many lessons in that, right? And then giving some to the man, not our wives. So, but thank God for redemption, right? We have to pay attention to the voices that are taking up residence in our head. Whether it was there from our parents, teachers, churches, culture. And it is something that you now mistaken for your own thoughts, for your own voice. Those lies need to be evicted. They need to be identified, and then they need to be evicted. And the only way for us to identify the lies that are just weaving all in our brain is for us to delve into the truth, right? They say, in order for you to identify a counterfeit bill, you need to know what the real one looks like. So you need to have the identifying markers, and then you can identify the real from the counterfeit. It's from studying the truth that we will be able to identify the lies. My son, he has special needs. Every week he has to do therapy, because the issue with a lot of children with Down syndrome is they have low muscle tone. So they tend to do things that are unconventional for, you know, like normally developing children. That's why they don't quite hit their milestones when they're supposed to, because, you know, they're low tone. So the physical therapist has to map his brain to show him, this is how you stand up properly. This is how you crawl down the stairs properly. Even though he's not quite ready for accomplishing certain milestones yet, she's still trying to map his brain, because in doing that, she's training him to do things the proper way, and instead of doing things in a way that is broken and is not going to produce the results that are going to benefit him. And so the brain makes these pathways. It's the same way with our faith. We have these default modes set up in our mind, the way we want to do things. Like our baby, he tends to slouch a lot. You know, that was a big thing. And so sitting up and working on his core did not come natural for him. And there's a lot of things because of our sin nature that does not come natural to us. So we have to work, and it is uncomfortable, and it is frustrating, and it is, you know, all the feelings. And I see him getting mad sometimes because he's got to work a certain area. There's also so much connection that happens in the retraining, trying to get him to do things a different way. And so we try to distract him with bubbles, or, you know, doing a blanket over his head so he reaches up instead of, you know, having his tendency to lean on his hands to try to do a cop out from sitting up properly. So he's actually engaging his core and working that. And it's the same thing with our spiritual faith. There's so many bad defaults that we just automatically go to. You know, we have a bad day because of thoughts in our head, like, oh, now my whole day's off because Starbucks forgot to put cold foam on top, and now everything's bad. You know, whatever that is for you, we have to engage with Holy Spirit, just like my son has to engage with his physical therapist, And she can point out, okay, if we don't correct this now, we're going to have issues later. So we need to get on top of the way he's not sitting up. We need to work on his core. His core is everything. So let's work on that. Let's work on getting him to navigate walking this way and that way. The Holy Spirit is all about trying to break up our rhythm. Break up our rhythm, break up all the things that we've grown accustomed to being comfortable with, because Christianity is not about comfort. It's about growth. It's about gaining strength. It's about gaining wisdom. In Christianity, it is all about growth, one way or the other. It's not about being stagnant and comfortable and cozy and just, you know, waiting until we die or Jesus comes back and then being like, okay, no. We need, the Holy Spirit is just like my son's physical therapist. Challenge, they're there to do the work and point out, okay, this is not going to work. We keep going in this direction. You're setting yourself up for failure. And it is not easy for me as a mom or to try to push him, because they're like, oh no, we don't want, but we know we have to. We know that we have to like stretch him so that he can grow and flourish the way he needs to. We believe the lie that God is not enough for us. So we live in a place of striving. We need to discover, what does God say about us? What is his heart for us? What is he saying about us? What is he trying to say to us? We need to step into the revelation of who he is so that we can know who we are. We need to ask Holy Spirit, reveal the lies and let truth be our shield and our sword. We were silent when we were told that we needed to unalive our babies and allow our wombs to be tombs. We were silent when they convinced us that our duty is not to our family, but to chasing careers and establishing a name, status, and prestige. We were silent when we allowed them to define the standard of beauty and health that only created self-hatred in women. We were silent to the objectification of women being portrayed as sexual objects that gave rise to pornography and sex slave. The answer isn't more birth control, sexual freedom, weight loss, legislation, or unaliving our babies. We cannot be silent anymore. Not now. Not when they are coming for our children. We do not want to pass down these ruins to our daughters, to our sons. We need to rebuild now. This is our moment to say, you know what? Everything that has gone before us has been a bunch of lies. It has all been birthed from a place of believing that we were at a deficit. And look, I'm not saying that there weren't good things that did come out of the women's movement long ago, like voting and things like that. But when it comes to the detriment of women, where it is breeding generations of broken women, like abortion, you know, women saying that they're empowered by being sexually free, those are all damaging thoughts that have led to the decay of womanhood. It has led to our decay. We are now being faced with confused men taking over our spaces and winning titles that belong to hard-working women. Spaces that belong to women, they are trying to invade. I went with my daughter to go shopping for a homecoming dress. And lo and behold, who was in the line? A man. And he was not even pretending like he was anything else. He was completely dressed as a man holding a bunch of dresses. This is what we're dealing with. It's not turning on each other like what happened in the garden. It's not about men versus women. It's about good versus evil. That's what it's always been about. It even came from the serpent's mouth. You will know both good and evil. We must separate ourselves from the deceiver who told our ancient mothers that you are deficit. You are missing something. You are not enough. What if she slapped that snake and said, you know what? I know my father. He would never withhold any good thing from me. He loves and cherishes me. He has provided for my every need and desire. He has made me in his image and given me the mind of Christ. I am great because he is with me. I will not fall because he sustains my every move. I love Psalm 91:7, where it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You know, and then right before that, it talks about up in verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I mean, let's talk about a God right here who is empowering us. Empowerment, protection, love, sustaining. That's what he promises. So if Eve would have responded, imagine if she were confident, like, excuse me, no, I know my father. He would never tell me not to touch this just because he wants to withhold something good for me. Everything he has ever done for me has been good. Everything. And we need to change our perspective on what good is. Just as Jesus said to Peter that he was what he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And this was in context to Jesus asking Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, our blessing comes from knowing who Jesus is, knowing what he has done for us, who he is to us. That is our inheritance. And it's somehow gotten twisted and contorted that blessing equates to physical comforts or getting the promotion and all that stuff. And look, I'm not saying we don't need to live on earth. You know, there is provision that God will look out for us. He promises that. But in here, if we can end the torment in here and in here, man. What could you not do is the question. What can you not accomplish? If you know who you are, you know who your father is. What unstoppable, unstoppable. It all develops from a place of intimacy. Having that intimate knowledge of who our Heavenly Father is and not misunderstanding his ways. You know, there was so much confusion when Job was going through so much confusion. And if you read towards the end of the book, God reveals himself to Job. Essentially, he's like, where were you when I was creating the foundations of the earth? No, basically, all the mysteries of creation, where were you? Can you answer? Can you give an account to all of this? And Job's like, can I buy a vowel? No, I can't. And he's like, you know what? I have only heard of you before, but now I see you. It was in a place of suffering. It was in a place that he was starting to misunderstand God. Like, there were so many dark prayers, like, just take me out. What? Why did you even allow me to live? Like, what are you doing? All the confusion and darkness. And this is when God revealed himself to Job, a place of intimacy that came in a time of desperation. If our actions have brought destruction, then we need to repent. We need to call on our Father and rebuild. Look behind you. Look at the pornography crisis that is damaging our children. They say the average age for a child who looks at porn is 8 years old. Are we just handing devices, cell phones, without any type of boundaries or filters or, you know, any type of accountability, and just trusting that, hey, don't look at this and that they're just going to go along with that? If a grown woman in a garden can't stay away from a freaking piece of fruit, what's your kid going to do on the internet? What do you think is going to happen to your kids if you're just sitting there doling out devices to them to get them to shut up or get out of your way without putting boundaries or parameters? Are we just letting our kids just go off with their boyfriends and girlfriends and just crossing our fingers that they're not going to be doing anything shady? I mean, come on. We were teenagers once. Let's not even play. Come on. You know that. You know, all we have to do is look at the statistics. All we need to do is listen to the conversations our teenagers are having about the next couple that's hooking up. You know, we're responsible for that. Look at the rate of teens engaging in sexual behavior. Look at the rate of suicide. What has been withheld from us is everything, because we have surrendered to the lies. We have traded truth for lies. May we not allow another second to go by without falling on our knees in reverence to our Creator, whom we have turned against and said, we don't need you. But we do need a boyfriend. We do need alcohol. We do need the latest diet. We do need the new outfit. We do need recognition. You know, the list goes on. What we need is strategy. What we need is wisdom. What we need is discernment. What we need is God. What we need is the revelation of who he is and how he loves us. How can we rebuild what has been destroyed? First, we must sift through the rubble and salvage what God finds valuable and rebuild a heritage of grace and truth. Because even in the midst of all the crazy that's been handed down, just like a house that burns down, people are sifting through the rubble to see if there's any remnants that are worth salvaging. Are there family pictures? Is there grandma's dish that made it? Even a piece of it. We need to do this for our children. Ladies, you were created for such a time as this. We cannot allow another generation to continue in this. We cannot. We need to speak out for the sake of our daughters, and we need to teach them to have a passion for the truth, not to readily accept every doctrine that comes out. I don't know how many times I see love yourself popping up. Now, while that sounds great and everything, if I recall, the Bible says to love God, first commandment, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And by loving him with everything, we will love ourselves. It will just come naturally. But the world's message is love yourself. Sounds good, doesn't it? What does that mean? Love yourself. How? Because the best way to love yourself is to love God, to honor God. Seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, there is a chain of command, and it's designed that way. And when we try to rebel against our design, we will not be experiencing the abundance that God has for us. We will not be living out the promises that he has for us. I keep seeing the scepter that gets lowered to Esther. And the king asks her, ask me anything, and I will give you up to half of my kingdom. We're talking about a pagan king here. A pagan king who is not perfected in love. And yet he is willing to offer Esther up to half of his kingdom. Well, yeah. The same way the scepter has been lowered for Esther, it is lowered for you too. It's lowered for you. You have a seat at the table to ask anything in accordance with the will of the Father. We are not dogs that eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. We will be given the choice foods. No more settling for the constant lies of culture that have breeded broken generation after broken generation. We must reclaim and announce a new proclamation to the world and demonstrate what true beauty and strength is. It was created by God, and we will be the fulfillment of his vision. How do we know the difference between the voice of God and the enemy? The enemy always presents a problem. And the solution? Temptation that will bring destruction. All we need to do is look at the broken families. Look at the divorce statistics. Look at the rise of drugs, of alcohol. Let's just look. Are we thriving right now? Are we living our best life now? I don't think so. The solution for him is temptation. It's selling yourself out. You know, they say the grass is greener on the other side. And then there's that other saying that says, you know, it's only green if you water it. So whatever you feed grows. So maybe we need to stop looking over at Susie's house. We start looking at our own yard and tending what we have. Even if it isn't as big as hers or lush as hers, let's cultivate what we have. Let's look within and look within our own heart and see, you know what? Instead of worrying about all this, let's worry about what's going on in here. What needs to change? Is it my temper? Is it my mouth? Is it gossip? Is it, what is it? What am I bringing to the table that is breeding destruction to women? What am I modeling for my daughters, for her friends, whoever's watching? Trust me, there's always somebody watching you when you least expect it. When I was little, real quick, when I was little, there was this lady at my church. She never wore makeup. She was the most plain dressed. And there were women there who dressed flashy. You know, this was in the 90s when people used to dress up for church. And she dressed very simply, always in a very long dress, always very modest. But I was always so taken back. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And she always wore her hair the same way. It was always pulled back, either half up, half down in a bun. The way she worshiped, oh my gosh, she radiated so much life and love. And I would just literally just stare and watch her. And whatever she did, I would do. If she lifted her hands, I was lifting my hands. If she prayed, if she walked up, I was copying everything. There was something, I didn't know it then, I know it now. It was God in her that was attracting me to her. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And I would always just stand by her at church. I was too scared to talk to her, but I would just want to be by her. And I would just stand next to her, and everybody, there was always a crowd of people around her, you know, because she just emanated so much joy and warmth. And she was just always hugging or praying with somebody. And I'm just like, she's so beautiful. That is what our daughters need to see. That. The beauty in here radiating out. We're doing such a dishonor to our girls. We need to get our heads out of social media and all the things that are lending itself to comparison and to making us feel like we're at a deficit. And we need to just hone in and tune in to the Lord's voice and say, you know what? You tell me what I need. Don't let the devil, don't let the culture, don't let, you know, this, your friends be like, girl, why haven't you gotten this yet? Why haven't you jumped on this? You know, and I'm not talking about accountability. Look, there is a difference. You know, if you have friends that are like, you know, you need to get healthy because you want to, whatever, that's good. But I'm talking about vanity. The enemy presenting a problem and temptation as the solution, as a way out. And then we see Eve with her response. It just created more problems. It breeded brokenness. And thank God that the Lord sent his only son to redeem us from our insanity. You know, we need to stop being like Eve and believing our lack is from not having all the things or being all the things. Our lack is from not clinging to the Lord and allowing him to be our Savior, allowing him to be our Father, allowing him to define us, delving in the truth of his word and what he is saying to us. God's voice brings solution. It empowers, it heals, it restores. We must learn the difference between conviction and condemnation. When Jesus healed the adulterous woman, he empowered her to go and sin no more. After he stood up to the most distinguished and prestigious people in his time, he was sending a message to her. You are worth it. I mean, it already was. This woman was just a pawn in their game. Nothing new under the sun, right? But this is the God that we are called to surrender to. This is the Father that we doubt and that we fear, the very one that restores, that loves, embraces, rebuilds, and forgives. David writes in Psalms 34, 9 through 10, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. They lack nothing. The next verse says, those who seek the Lord lack for or wants no good thing. You see, everything is all about God. And if we have him, we don't want anything else. He will remove, you know, the bad from us. James 1:4 says, and let endurance carry out its intended purpose so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You see what I'm talking about? With God, we don't lack anything. We need to let the process happen. Let it take its course as it's God intended. We don't need to be worried about Samantha over there with her perfectly, you know, coordinated outfits for their family photos. We need to be worried about what's going on. That's Samantha and Gregory's problem. That's not our business. No. Be happy for Samantha. Just say, blessing, Samantha. Love the colors. If it's making us feel bad about ourselves, stop right there, honey. Don't go there. Do not do it. Do not go there. That's your indication right there, is that the enemy, or we're believing that there's a lack. We are lacking. We don't have matching pajamas for Christmas this year. Thomas, what are we going to do? Screw that. Who cares? Who cares? Make some sugar cookies. You know, throw together some hot chocolate and do you. You don't have to live your life to anybody else's standard. It's Samantha and Gregory, like, doing all the things. Let them do all the things. You do you. Let her do her. Be happy for her and she'll be happy for you. We don't need to compare. No, we don't need to. Most of the time, it's an illusion anyways. And I love the women that are coming out on social media like, hey, y'all, this is what my house really looks like. That's my kids' underwear on the floor. And that's peanut butter jelly just smashed into the wall. You know, I love that. So it's reality. Because a lot of it is designed to sell us something because they want to show us you are lacking. Is your pantry perfectly organized? I didn't think so. Does it look like this? They show the black and white video and everything's falling on the woman. She's got a concussion on the floor because her flower fell on top of her. But the whole thing is they're trying to sell you on some, you know, cute Tupperware to, you know, make everything look cute. Of course, keep the flower on the floor, man. What if it makes you happy? So what? Like, we don't need to have all the things. And Lord knows I'm talking to myself because I'm always all up in the Kool-Aid trying to find out what the flavor is. Like, what are we talking about? Organization. What is that? What are these new organizational tools? Do bathrooms really stay that clean? You know, it's like, girl, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get through it. We can't allow those things to be used as a tool for the enemy to start whispering in our mind, or for us to start telling ourselves, look at what kind of mother you are. You don't have your kids in karate. How dare you? You don't have your kids in activities. Instead, you're choosing to focus on getting your house in ordering, working on prioritizing. Maybe that God has you doing in your household. Do that. Maybe for, you know, Martha, you know, God wants her to put her kids and get some structure and get them, you know, outside because they're whatever. Follow what God's telling you to do. Don't worry about what nobody else is doing. Okay? You know, sometimes we just need to remove the apps. Just delete it. I've deleted mine a million times and have reinstalled it. So I'm right there with you. I'm talking to myself. This ain't something I have 100%. I'm on the journey, sister. I've never said I have 100% arrived. So there's that. You know, I am becoming more aware to the lies that are in my mind so that I can counteract and say, wait a minute. I don't know how many times I have to say that to myself. Wait a minute. Who says my day's ruined? We're watching a movie. It was a romance. It was This Is Us. We were watching This Is Us, and Jack, whoever wrote about this man of wonder, you have made a lot of women mad at their husbands. Watching the show, and I'm looking over at him like, so, I gave you 10 kids, and you could barely do a dish, yet this man goes ahead and will clean up after a Super Bowl game, and he's looking at me like, you know it's just a movie, right? You know this is probably written by some woman. I'm like, so what? He's an example. Follow the example. You know what? This is no longer a show for us to enjoy. This is homework. Get a pen and a paper. I mean, you got to have some notes to take. But that is the time when you have to stop and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm not comparing. I'm not doing that. You talk to God. God, you see what's going on with my family. You see what's going on between my husband and I. But you said there's always a but. You said in your word that those who fear you will lack nothing. And I pray, Father, that you will reach my children. You promise that they will be mighty in the land. You said in your word, it is not your will that not one shall perish, but that all will have everlasting life. Reach my husband. Give him the wisdom and discernment that he needs to lead our family. Weld us together. Unite our family that we would be one mind. Because you said in your word, a house divided cannot stand. So Lord, we pray for unity. Start praying the word over yourself, over your family. Just say, Lord, you said that you have given me a sound mind and not a spirit of fear, because fear brings torment, but it is your desire that I have peace and peace more abundantly. Lord, I just pray for the fruits of the Spirit to reside within me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Start pulling out the promises. That's your inheritance. Claim it. Also asking, Lord, what are areas in my life that I need to seek forgiveness on? How can I forgive or release bitterness? Redirect my mind, redirect my gaze. Lord, give me strategy. How can I do that? Do I need to write verses on the mirror? Do I need to replace social media with my Bible app? Like, start thinking of practical ways you can start incorporating more truth. Instead of listening to certain music in the car, listen to a podcast that is going to empower and strengthen and challenge you and use biblical truth. So that's my challenge to you this week. Engage with the Lord. Don't just listen to worship music and say, you know what? I did my part for the day. You know, I listened to some Maverick City and I just got down with it. No. I'm talking about going deeper. Engage. Talk with the Lord. I don't care if your mind is wandering and zigzagging, because that's going to happen. Redirect. Just say, God, I want to take first steps. I want to engage with you. I want to connect with you. What am I missing? What do I need to do? First place is surrender. Such a scary word, but also very freeing, because it means you are not in control and God is. So surrender. There is so much beauty and fear, frighteningness in it. I make up words and that's okay. I'm going to come out with my own dictionary. It's going to be a hit, maybe. With like two people. I'll make my husband buy a copy and maybe one of my kids that still like me. Look, if this has made you laugh with me, anyways, if this has blessed you, hit that like button. It's the thumbs up button. Hit it, girl. Or you know what? A lot of people say smash it. Smash the button. Yeah, smash it. Smash subscribe. Smash like. You only live once. Hit it three times. I don't even care. Share it with some of your homegirls that, you know, need a little, you know, blessing in their life. For the two of you people out there watching, we're in this together, you know. Hit me up in the comments so we can really connect. Maybe hit it up with some coffee. Do it, honey. Anyways, okay. I really pray that this has encouraged you and this is your homework as a master truth so we can spot the counterfeit and the lies. Because you know we can smell a lie a mile away. Let a man come lie to us. Let one of our children come and lie and tell us that they did not hit up our last chocolate that we were hiding inside of our dresser drawer, even though we see the wrapper in there. Try it. Like, Let's not even act like we don't even know how to spot a lie. We can see it. We can smell it 7 miles away. We know when it's coming. And we're like, oh, hold on. Get my rings and my Vaseline. It is coming down. This guy thinks he's going to come in here and lie to me. This is how we need to treat our minds. When that lie comes, it's like, wait, no, not today, Satan. Anyways, that's enough out of me. I pray that this has blessed you. Feel free to like, comment, subscribe, share. I'm done. I'm done playing. Enough. Playtime's over. Playtime's over. This girl's done. She's got to go to bed. She's got a baby she's got to wake up with in the morning. I can't be doing this all night. Okay. Okay. You guys take care. Love you. Is that how my girls do? They do this. They do. They do some kind of gang signs with a heart. Love you guys.
Joining me on Rebuilding Ruins, catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.